Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Josh Edwards, who is the founder of OSM. Josh loves tiny living and is currently living full-time in two RVs between Ontario and Orlando. Today, we're going to be discussing Josh's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Josh.
Thanks for having me, Julia. Excited to be here.
Yes, we're very excited to have you here. So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Awesome. Let's go.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I'd say the biggest thing in this season of my life that it motivates and inspires me as an entrepreneur is to really be able to function in a space where I'm helping people in a way that totally is in alignment with who I am as a human being. I've seen so many different ways that, you know, you can help somebody. But when you really finally get comfortable in a space where you're helping people in a way that totally aligns with your DNA, it's life changing. And it's really, it's almost impossible to go back from that. So that's a huge reason why entrepreneurship is so special to me. It's the lane that actually allowed me to help people in a way that was in alignment with my DNA.
It's so interesting. It's hard to put into words sometimes, you know, what really, you know, gravitates certain people towards certain professions. And, you know, the idea of really helping people, that really resonates with me as well. And yeah, say, you know, when I used to run my agency, that was definitely what motivated and inspired me as well. It's just so rewarding when you're able to, you know, just help provide that guidance and expertise to help grow other small businesses. It's so rewarding at the end of the day.
Yeah, it totally is, Julia. And I mean, just one quick example of that would be like, and you know, you're a former agency owner in that regard. So I'd noticed a lot in the industry that there was a lot of like over-promising, under-delivering, if you will, when it came to things like results. And oh my goodness, if you sign up with us, we're gonna, you know, we'll double your business in the next year and things of that nature. And you know, I saw that, even participated in a bit of that because that's what I knew. That's how I was kind of being trained. And when I really got to the root of like, wait a second, what is helping somebody cultivate and grow in a digital marketing space? How does that align with my DNA? And when I really started to uncover that, it really took me to a place, even now I'm still journeying through, where I'm really trying to kind of almost re-educate the market a bit about what a partnership looks like and how that's actually impactful for the people you know, that work with agencies and what that looks like from a practical, realistic, but also an educational lens.
Yes, I love that. That's so interesting. And then so tell us a little bit about your journey of starting OSM. You know, what was that deciding factor to really, you know, take the plunge and start your own agency?
Yeah, it was totally a God thing. I mean, it wasn't an agency that I started, but what happened was I graduated from a sales and marketing program at Loyalist College, which I know you graduated from there as well, which is super awesome.
Very cool.
But yeah, I graduated from there and it was kind of just a literally a right place, right time. I was dropping my sister off at a youth event, and I was there, and all of a sudden there was a guy there, and we started talking, and he's like, "Oh, what are you taking in school?" And I said, "Marketing." And he's like, "Oh, I need a marketing guy." And that guy turned out to be the owner of OSM at the time. I started an internship there, and that kind of led me into working there. When I first sat down with the owner of that business, I asked him, you know, "What's your vision for the company?" And he just looked at me like I had four eyes. This is before I wore glasses. So you can tell the look on his face. And I just said, "Yeah, I'm curious." And he's like, "Well, none of my employees have ever asked me that question." He says, "You know, maybe 5 to 10 years, I'm looking to take a step back." And he asked me the same question. And I said, "Well, 5 to 10 years, I'm looking to take a step in." So we kind of kept that in his back pocket. And then 4 years later, I ended up buying the business from him. So, that was about 4 years ago. So I've been in the company overall just 8 years now, and 4 years of ownership. But the company itself has been around 21 years.
Okay, interesting. So what were some challenges that you had to overcome when you first took over ownership?
Definitely, the biggest challenge for sure was the fact that I had, like, I had been, you know, an employee before, which is funny because that was one of the biggest challenges, although it was also one of the biggest strengths because I knew about the business inside and out from that perspective and the different areas of the company. But, you know, definitely other people that have been there longer than me looking at me now kind of in a new light, having to step up to the plate and lead people that I had worked alongside as more colleague and less CEO format.
Yeah.
So that was difficult. And you know, it did take some getting used to for me and for also other people involved. But, you know, I just, you know, you learn along the way. If you approach things with humility, it will, time will tell, and you'll be able to get through those things.
Awesome. Very cool. So how do you continue to grow OSM and bring in more business into your agency and then, you know, bring in more leads and close those prospects?
Yeah. You know, I'm actually really excited to talk about this question, Julia, and thank you for asking it, because, and hopefully this brings value to some other agency owners maybe that are going to watch this, because growth comes in different ways in what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm actually entering a season where growth for me looks like downsizing. Growth for me looks like we have less clients right now, and we also have less staff right now. And what's happening is, and where
and
I
how
can
big
see,
is your team for context?
Yeah, so right now our team is 6, including myself. Now, last year around this time, our team was 10.
Okay.
So we've literally like cut in half, like the size of our staffing. Right. So that's what I mean by downsizing. So what's happened with that is, and we're still currently on this journey, but what's happening is we're getting to a place of real clarity with what that looks like from a service offering standpoint, for how we want to operate and lead our customers, for the customers that are still active in the marketplace and you know, want to grow, want to take their business to the next level, or want to maintain and enhance some things that they already have going on. And what Great. That's also allowed for me from an entrepreneurial perspective, like, you know, leading people and managing people is a lot of work. It's a lot Yes. of time, effort, emotions. And what I also learned along the way is that I downsized my entire life on the personal side. I've lived in the 2,200 square foot homes and downsized. And now I live in 300 square feet in Canada 6 months of the year, and then down to Florida in a fifth wheel, and really just so much peace and simplicity in the life that I live now. And I absolutely love it, my family and I. But so now it's kind of, it's bled over into the business sense as well. Yeah, the market's also been down. So we did, you know, go through a rough, you know, the last 6 to 10 months of, you know, clients just they're having to shut their doors and then not being able to continue with their business and yes. us losing clients as a result. I'm just giving the very real things that are going on because I know some other like other agencies are going through the exact same thing. We may as well not sugarcoat it. Yeah. So when I say all of that to say, it's interesting how all of that's happened and I could look at it as a negative. But the positive side of it is that it's actually allowing me to downsize my agency, which is going to afford me more family time. I'm a huge family guy. I love my family. I got 2 boys, 3 and 1, love spending time with them. My wife, beautiful, love spending time with her. And we travel. We love to travel. So, you know, less of a management role as far as humans in the agency. And being able to run it like a tight machine, that's really attractive to me right now in this time of my journey.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I think, you know, a lot of agency owners, they just, you know, automatically assume the goal is to just grow the agency and, you know, continue to scale up. But I think it's so important to really take a step back and figure out what it is that you want. You know, what do you want to achieve? What do you want as a human being and as an agency owner? So, yeah. And, you know, if you, you know, you want that balance and that family time and a certain size team so that you're not, you know, turning into just HR all the time, you're able to still stay involved in, you know, the day-to-day operations, then yeah, it makes so much sense to really take a step back and figure out what size of agency you want to be running at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think it's, I think, you know, this, the last 18, 24, 30 months has really done that for a lot of people. It's allowed us to reevaluate like what we really want. And I mean, I was the guy year one of owning the agency and that was our biggest revenue year. I was motivated. I was like, you know, I want to be $1 million a year agency mm-hmm. in the next 5 years. We were like 3/4 of the way there, doing 700,000 annual sales. Gross revenue every year. And I'm very different from that today. Like I'm okay with our agency just like running steady, making a good income. But I'm not overly growth sensitive the way I used to be. And I guess the growth that I'm talking about now in this season is one of lifestyle and one of time, having time to do the things that I love to do, even outside of what I do for work.
Right. Very good. I love that. So, you know, in your experience running your agency, what are some things you've learned along the way to help maintain happy clients who are going to help, you know, bring in those referrals to you guys at the end of the day and, you know, just continue to stay on as happy clients?
Yeah, the happiest clients in the world are the ones that you're honest with. So what I mean by that is there's a lot of solutions. There's a lot of things that you can do, but you have to take enough time to get to the root of what an actual issue or challenge or problem is that needs to be solved for a client. So I found that to be probably the best way to keep a happy client. You got to get it right in the very beginning. And that's where I take off my marketing hat and I actually put my business cap on, which works well because I run and operate one. But what it allows me to do, people will come to me and say, hey, I want XYZ. But as I dig towards the root, I'll understand, okay, you're saying you want this, but based on the root of the challenge that you've brought up, you actually might need to start here first. And one example I always give of that is people typically look for marketing solutions to fix sales problems.
Mm.
And what I scream from the rooftops for people is no, you need a sales solution to address the sales problem first. once you've addressed that, now let's talk about the marketing solution to enhance the sales solution.
I love that. Yeah, that makes so much sense. Okay. So just having that transparency with your clients, being really upfront with them and making sure that communication is dialed in. And what have been some learning lessons that you've learned along the way as you've been, you know, working with clients over the years?
Yeah, well, I mentioned to you that, I've learned my own lessons about over-promising, under-delivering, and also you have to be consistently communicating and reminding the client of why they are working with you. It's easy to get into a project. You had that initial conversation and they're all fired up. They're all excited about the campaign or whatever the case may be, but you have to constantly remind them why they're working with you, what the outcome is that they signed up for, because I find that, and that's just how we are as humans. That's kind of our DNA. We need to constantly be reminded of our why. Every single day I wake up, I need to be reminded of my why, or else it's kind of easy to get lost and it's kind of easy to veer here and veer there. So that's been a big lesson that I've learned, being consistent with that. Mm-hmm. And another lesson that I've learned is pulling the trigger on when you see toxicity in your organization, dealing with it sooner. That's definitely something that I've learned for sure. And because, you know, I would default to, I don't want to rock the boat, or, you know, I want to help that person as much as I can to bring them along. But sometimes you just know in your gut that person has to go.
Yeah.
And, and sometimes at the end of the day, you really do wish you would have handled it sooner. So that's another lesson I've learned.
And is that like both, you know, maybe a team member who's not fitting in with your culture as well as a client who might not be a good fit?
100% both. 100% both. I've fired clients because of just obscene just language, even to my staff. And that stuff is easier to deal with because it's blatant. The harder thing, and this is value, I think, for your listeners, Julia, the harder thing is when it's subtle, but you know, and you don't do anything because it's subtle. When in all actuality, that's when you should do it, because that means it hasn't gotten to a place that you don't want it to go yet. Stop it early. I know you're going to miss the revenue, and we all think about those things as operators. But in the long run, it's better to make room for somebody else who's going to be a better fit for you and your agency.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, if you have a client who's just, you know, really not pleasant to deal with, it's going to impact your team on an ongoing basis, you know, and then they're not going to be as happy, or they're not going to be as passionate about the work they're producing, which will lead to them not being as loyal to the organization in the long run. So I agree. You really have to, you know, pay attention to what's going on. And if those warning signs are there, just trust your gut.
You got it. You got it.
Yep. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing OSM?
I'd say the biggest overall challenge I've had to overcome is the challenge within myself. Within my own heart, within my own brain, my own soul, if you will, not to over spiritualize this, but it is a journey of kind of mano y mano, like it's you against you.
Mm-hmm.
You typically are the person that will get in your way the most, or speak negatively about yourself the most, or let thoughts consume you. I know there's a lot of people that may be listening that deal with anxiety and all of the challenges, all of the worries that come with business. And for me, the biggest challenge and things that I'm super excited about now, because I really feel like I'm at a place now where I have some really strong, powerful tools in my tool belt to work through and deal with this stuff. But yeah, it's definitely self. That's the biggest challenge, because once you get out of your own way, it becomes way easier to deal with everything, even the really tough stuff. Yes. Like I just had to lay off somebody yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Like where I'm at right now, even in my self work and my journey that way, like it's a lot. It's still painful to have to work through those things, but it's not crippling.
Yeah.
And I really need somebody to hear that. When you get to a place where things like that aren't crippling, that's when you know you've really done some self-work.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's not easy to find that balance. But what have been some tools that you have used to, you know, just help grow as an entrepreneur and as a human being, so that you can be, you know, just more accepting of your day-to-day?
Yeah. I'm just going to throw this out there, and this is 100% true. 100%. It has been, my relationship with the Lord. It's completely changed my framework about how I operate. I don't see it as my business. I see it as God's business. And, because I am now at a place where I'm really intentional about applying even the things in the Bible that talks about for entrepreneurship. And if you don't think there's verses in the Bible for entrepreneurs, I'm telling you right now, there's plenty of them, plenty of principles. But it's really actually brought me peace, because my peace is no longer situational. And mm-hmm. I need you to hear me on this, Julia. It's no longer based on my circumstances, because I have the peace that passes all understanding. And that peace only for me comes through Jesus Christ. So it's eternal, it's not external. So therefore it doesn't really matter what happens here on earth, because my peace isn't based on what happens here on earth. It's based on life after here and what that looks like. So that's a huge part. And then just things like boundaries, you know, getting very practical now for other people in here that will have no clue about what I just said. Mm-hmm. You know, setting boundaries for yourself, learning how to say no. My goodness, learn how to say no.
Oh yes, that's a good one.
Get good at that, because that will save your life. That will allow you to say yes to the right things instead of to just things that you choose to do because you're a people pleaser, like I was a people pleaser.
Yeah.
You know, and just, we got to get over not having those hard conversations that you need to have. So again, the anxiety, the fear that comes with that, deal with that. I got to talk out loud to myself and say, like, you need to do this, Josh, because this, on the other side of this, there's going to be a next level of peace when you deal with this thing. You're worried about it now, but you shouldn't deal with it, and you'll be able to walk through it. So you know, talk to yourself a lot more positively than we probably do right now, and then action the things you're telling yourself, action the things that you're saying to yourself that are positive, so you can begin to work through those things. And I get super passionate about this stuff, but
I love it. And yeah, I think it's so important to really, you know, not procrastinate on the difficult things, because at the end of the day, you know, when you know you've got something on your mind that you know is a big looming task, it's just going to suck your energy out from other tasks, and it's going to slow down your productivity overall. And the longer you put it off, the longer it's kind of sucking away at your energy and your productivity. So really, you know, I think having that grace with yourself, like, yes, it's going to be hard, but I can do it. And just trying your best not to procrastinate on those difficult tasks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So where do you see OSM in 5 years' time?
Great question. I have no idea. You know, 4 years ago, I had all these plans and ideas. And I think what the last 24 months has taught us is, like, you know, you can plan and plan all you want, but life is going to happen. So what I do, what I focus on more mostly now, is building habits that don't change, even though the market changes.
Okay. Can you give an example of that?
Absolutely. So habits has absolutely changed my life, because it changes every single day for me. I used to set a lot of goals. I used to set a lot of, like, things that are kind of in the future. But what I found was, we were just talking about boundaries, and I can tell that resonated with you. Like, how many things today should I be saying no to you? Should I be saying no to, and will say no to, for the sake of making sure that my, you know, I'm going to be able to bring my best self to the things that I do say yes to. Let's put that in practice today. So when I apply that to, like, where do I see the company in 5 years? I don't know, but I do know that as long as every single day I'm very intentional about where my yes goes, where my energy goes, where my time goes, that means I'll be able to adjust and pivot to the things that I know are going to be important as they come my way, or whether they come into my brain, or however that works. But the market's always changing. Like, the services we offered, you know, 3 years ago are not the services we offer today. Like, it's things change on a dime, especially in our industry, and you know, yes, that better than anybody. So for me, it's kind of like, you know what, let's approach every single day like I have a vision. I have a vision for the company, and that's more so about what our service, what our actionable service looks like to the end consumer. That's really what the vision entails. But the habits is how we get there.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really important to always be looking through the lens of, you know, what are your values, and where do you want to be headed when you're making your day-to-day decisions. So, yeah, I love that you've implemented those habits. That's just going to, you know, they're steady, that it's, you know, you're doing them every single day, and it's helping you to just create the agency that you ultimately strive to reach towards.
Yeah, it's so key. And I love that you brought up values, because that's something I'd probably talk about the most with my team. Because once you have those down, every habit you work on will begin to naturally align with those values, because they're in alignment, because what you believe is what your habits will form to.
Yes.
And that's been super key for us, for sure.
Awesome. So we are getting ready to move on to the Fast Five here in just a moment, but do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
The only thing I'll say is this is, for anybody who's, yeah, just really, as an agency owner especially, just really, really question the root behind why you operate your business the way you operate your business. Because I think there's a persona we want to carry in certain instances, but there's a real us behind that persona. And I find that it becomes a slow, excruciating death if we don't kill the persona so that the real human behind the persona can live. And I know it's a very competitive atmosphere out there. I know you see a lot of people on the gram and TikTok living their lives, and then you kind of want to, you know, echo that or reflect that. Oh, they're doing that. I want to do that too. Like, really sit with yourself and be okay with spending time alone. It actually blows my mind how many people cannot be alone. And I mean, when I mean alone, I mean like without your phone, without access to actually like check in and really sit with yourself and say, like, what do I actually want? Like, what's in my DNA that actually is the direction where, you know, I would go that makes sense for me? And be unapologetic about that and forget about what everybody else is doing. So I encourage anybody who hasn't done that, do that, because it changed my life. I went from being the person that, you know, wanted the big house with the big fence and everything. And now I love tiny living, and, you know, so you never know.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. You know, when you have less possessions, you also have less worries as well. So, yeah, I love that. I agree. I think it's so important to have that reflection time, that time to center yourself and just bring the best version of yourself to the table.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So now we're going to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
I'm ready.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
That book is, I don't remember the name of the author, but the book is called Cry Like a Man. I struggled with that for years, and now I bawl like a baby. So that's the book I'm given.
Amazing. I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine looks like getting up. I kind of tiptoe a little bit because my sons are sleeping, but coffee. I open up the Bible. I just spend time in prayer and worship. And then I get to the work for the day.
Very good. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Definitely. I've followed Gary Vaynerchuk for a while, for sure. Obviously he's the Mount Rushmore of our industry. so I've definitely followed him for a long time and appreciate a lot of the content he puts out.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool right now, I would say, is PowerDirector. It's just like a video editing app that I use. I'm very simple the way my brain works, so it's really easy for me to edit videos that way and speed up, you know, audio and things of that nature. So I'm really enjoying using that. I like making videos.
Very good. And last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
The one thing I wish I knew when I began my career was when you sign up to be an entrepreneur, you sign up to die in a way. And I know that's going to sound really weird and maybe even off-putting to people. And I'll explain the reason why. You sign up, when I say you sign up to die, what I mean by that is like, there's a lot of things you will need to sacrifice for the greater good of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're just taking your servanthood to another level, which means that there's another level of sacrifice. There's another level of things you've had to give an up. Case in point, I've invested a lot of my own money in my agency. Numbers my team will never know about, people will never know about. But it's the sacrifice that I've chosen to make as an entrepreneur. And so that, you know, there are parts of you that die when you step into this lane, if you're trying to do it well and with dignity. And that's not a bad thing, because what you find is the parts of yourself that you kill off, selfishness, things of that nature, it actually builds you into a better version of you, I think. But just be prepared for that's what you're signing up for.
Yeah, that's so interesting. When you say parts of you die, you don't necessarily think that it's parts that you want to die, like the selfish parts of you. So that's really, really well said. I love that. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Josh. It was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I've really enjoyed learning about your journey of growing your agency. So thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you, Julia. Yeah, I appreciate what you're doing. You guys are awesome. I really love the format, and I wish you the very best with this podcast going forward. It was really fun to be here today with you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.